So I'll do a bit of I'll just read a bit of scripture here, which almost every word of which will be absolutely familiar to you and is the biblical basis for the play that we heard this morning, or you saw this morning. It's really interesting when you go scanning the Gospels to pick up bits and pieces of the Christmas story, to realize that only two Gospels actually do mention the birth of Jesus. You would have thought that it would be one thing that all of the Gospels speak to, but it's not. Only two of them do. Only one mentions the shepherds, and that's in Luke. And only one Gospel mentions the wise men. And there's no overlap between the ones, so that there's no mention of the wise men and the shepherds. It's either or, according to the Gospels. Not that they're mutually exclusive, but you know, they only mention only one Gospel mentions either. And of course, we're not told how many wise men. We're only told that there were three gifts. So by extension, we've decided there's three wise men in every Christmas play, and every little nativity scene all shows three wise men, and it's all just a fabrication as a consequence of three gifts. And of course, there's no mention anywhere in Scripture about a stable. That's another bit of poetic or, you know, romanticized and very pretty sort of symbolism or legend, a mythology, really. But these words will be very familiar to you from Luke chapter 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Now, I love this fact that they were terrified, because it freaks me out that if an angel of the Lord appeared to us right now, we like to kind of go, we'd go, oh yeah, we know who he is. We, you know, we're used to that kind of presence. We would be terrified that his goodness, elsewhere in Scripture it says that they were that there were people terrified of his goodness. You know, amazing to me that this can be so. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. How effective that was, I'm not sure, given their terror, but do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host, and wasn't that fantastic, that moment with the singing starting up before, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, and this is what I'm going to be centering around, their message and what our message is as a result. But what they said is, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Now, last week in standing up, in response to something said in communion, I greeted you all with greetings, you who are highly favored. And I absolutely stand on this idea. In fact, I've kind of contemplated making it my standard greeting, one Christian to another, greetings, you who are highly favored, because we just stand in so much blessing and so much favor. And it's so critical that we come to grow in our understanding of the favor that we stand in. And that these angels saying, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. Now, I'm sure you probably, if you grew up in church, you probably grew up with this idea of a God who was so angry with man at all times that if he hadn't promised not to flood the earth again the first time, he probably would choose to. That actually to eliminate us would probably be his preference, you know? We were told so much about his hate of sin, and we adopt this sense of his anger over the world, and his anger over the state of the world. And so it doesn't rest easy with us. And it's a bit of a shock to hear. I mean, it should be a shock to hear. We almost reject the idea that God, that these angels could sing, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. In a few chapters later, Jesus stands up in that amazing moment when he stands up in the temple and he reads from Isaiah. And everybody in the room falls silent as they realize, we've not heard this said like this before. What is it about what this guy is saying? Where Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim the freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That Jesus is saying, I'm here to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, it would be ridiculous to assume that what he meant is that that point in his ministry, when he was turning 30-ish, was the year. This must surely mean the era, the phase of the Lord's favor. And I believe this is what we stand in now as a consequence of Jesus coming, that when he says, when the angels sing, and peace to men on whom his favor rests, that is this planet, that what we're witnessing this Christmas, as we enter this Christmas phase, is this idea that this is this incredible outpouring of favor from God upon man. Peace to men on whom his favor rests. But I knew that scripture, you know, all through my childhood, and it wasn't till probably 5 or 6 years ago that occurred to me that in Luke, later during the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, you know, he's on a donkey, and the people have all got this vision, a momentary vision of who Jesus is. And it's incredible that at a moment right when he is declared king, that 3 days later, well, actually, no, I shouldn't say that. I'm not quite sure how many days later. Within days, he's dead. He's killed. But what Luke says, the people cried out at this point, is so amazing, because it's just like this complete reflection of the angels declaring Jesus' arrival. So Jesus is on this donkey. He's approaching Jerusalem. He knows this is the end. He's stayed away from Jerusalem up till now because he's been told when he gets there, it's basically the end. And he knew he needed to time it. It wasn't that he was avoiding his death. He just knew he had to time it well. And it's interesting to me that at other times when people called out who he was, he silenced them. And I never could understand that. Why would he say to people, no, keep this silent. Do not cry out who I am. He led people out of town who were going to say this out loud. And why would he do this? And my belief is he knew when man finally understood who he was and declared who he was, that was moments. That was his death knell. And that he had to actually kind of keep it silent until he'd finished what he needed to do. But so this is Jesus, when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. And this is what they called out. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And you know, we've heard this before. The angels, when Jesus is departing, supposedly, kind of, so to speak, departing heaven to come to earth, they say, glory in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill toward men, on whom his favor rests. And when humanity understands who Jesus is, they're crying out, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Now, I don't quite understand, you can't tell from only two incidents what this means. It's either the fact that the people were so just caught up with the revelation of God and how great he was, and we're just going to bless anybody or anything that was not in their space at the time. Who can we bless? Let's pray peace in heaven. I mean, to pray peace in heaven seems so hilarious that man would say, peace in heaven. Or is it possible that at the beginning of his life, Jesus is departing heaven to come to earth? At this point, he is on a donkey moving to a place where he knew his death was. And at both times, what was happening is that the people present were praying the peace that they understood and knew into the world that he was entering. That when he's departing heaven, heaven says, peace on earth. We know where he's going and he's going to take with it peace with him. And at this point, was it a prophetic revelation of people to go, we know where he's headed. Peace in heaven and glory to God in the highest. We don't know, and it's not important to my purposes that we do sort out what exactly was going on there. But what amazes me in this case is it feels to me like when either the heavenly hosts or humanity realized who God was and realized how powerful he was, what they understood is they had the power to bless the next world, another world, the place that Jesus was going. And it really feels to me, there's already been talk about this morning quite a few times, about this idea of needing to be in some stillness. That coming to an understanding of who God is and how present he is will automatically make us want to bless peace into the world in which he is entering. And I believe we are here as a church, as an interface for this community between one kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, and the kingdom of this world. And what an amazing notion that as this point of entry into this community, we, in understanding who God is, has the power to call out peace on this town, peace on this community, peace on our country, peace on our planet, peace on these people on whom God's favor rests. We've got the power to bless. We've got this power to give out peace. I think it was about, I first started kind of keeping really distinct diaries about what I felt like the Lord was speaking to me about 11 years ago. And it was very early on there. I had these words, I was worshiping, and I had these words fall in my head. And I know some of you will question the authority of words that just drop into your head. I appreciate that. I don't have an issue with that, obviously, or I wouldn't be mentioning them. But whether or not you acknowledge their spiritual value, you'll see that there is truth in them. And that I heard these words that made no sense to me at the time, and I just had to write it down. It said, my home is coming to town. My home is coming to town. I'm going, what on earth? And as I tried to make sense of this, my home is coming to town, I felt like the Lord saying about me, my home, where I belong, where I'm made for, my true home is heaven, and my home is coming to town. It's coming. And then the next day the words came, you know, the removalists have arrived and you're part of the unpacking crew. That the removalist van of my home coming to town, the removalists that arrived, the removalist van had arrived full of stuff, and I'm here to unpack for my community this arrival of his kingdom. So what I'd like to do is for us to, in a sense, speak out this truth. Glory to God in the highest. And this is what I love, is that in both cases it's attached to a recognition of God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Or in the other case, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. That it's attached, that our understanding of who God is and his greatness and where he stands and sits and his power automatically leads to a place of wanting to give that away. Or wanting to pass it out. Wanting to bless the next world, you know? Want to bless the world beyond. So I wonder if we could pray. I'd like to pray. In silence, or if you'd like to speak it out. In acknowledging that God is here, God is great, God's the greatest, and glory to God in the highest, hey? That we have peace to give away. And I wonder if there's people on your heart and mind whether it's our town, whether it's our community, whether it's our country, whether it's our planet. You know, there's all sorts of things going on internationally as well as locally and domestically. And whether or not we could just have some time praying peace into those circumstances, understanding that your bank account of peace is full, okay? Not because of what you've done, not what you feel, but because of the declared point that Jesus came to bring it, and he has, whether you feel it or not, and your account is full and ready to give away. So don't limit what you're giving in peace by what you're feeling, for a start. But I wonder if we could, I would love it if there's, we need to be careful about praying for recognizable names. You know, we need to be careful about using surnames and things. But if there's someone, a name you would like to speak out, if you just want to do it in silence, that's fine too. But if there's a situation you want to speak out, if there's a name you want to speak out, if there's a town you want to speak out, anything that you understand right now needs peace, let's just hold this moment for a bit and understand, as the angels did, that they could declare peace on earth, and as the people did when they knew that they could call peace into heaven of all things, let's pray his peace into our circumstances. God in the highest, and peace in the Ukraine. Peace on the people of Russia, people who are in pain over what it is that they feel that is going on and that they want to distance themselves from. Lord, we pray peace into Russian hearts. Thank you for the peace that we believe is being sent out from this place, from this massive, big, overflowing bank account of peace that you died to provide. We thank you for its transferability. I wonder if there's, I'd also like you to be praying for people who you are reluctant to hand peace to, people that you need to forgive, that's something that there, where there is a resentment or a bitterness, and that there's a freedom step that you need to make in blessing them with peace. It's just in silence. Bless those people who have hurt us. Bless those people for any reason our hearts withhold a blessing. They're just astonished at the idea that having come up with this plan of peace and this beautiful imagery of a baby, sending a baby in peace to our planet, that you, Father God, knew that that life was going to be anything but a peaceful life, and that your son's death was going to be anything but a peaceful moment, and that you were going to have to watch the very people who you wanted to bless with peace torment and mock and reject in every way the peace that you are paying so dearly to provide. Lord, we just are overwhelmed with gratitude that you persisted And that as we stand and sit before you now, we just want to thank you for all that you've done to bring us peace, for all that you continue to do to bring us peace. And we so often continue to reject it. As it says in Psalms, we can find ourselves despising the pleasant places. What is that? Lord, we pray that you will teach us to be able to walk beside the still waters and lie down in the green pastures that you've prepared for us. You would teach us the ways of peace. You would show us how to walk in peace this week. You would show us how to bless the people around us with peace this week. The people on whom your favor rests. We just acknowledge our total dependence on you to show us your ways. Show us these paths of peace. Show us how to walk these paths of peace. Show us how rich and full our account of peace and blessing is, that we might be able to lavishly give it away to the people around us. Pray in Jesus' name. And for his glory. Amen. So Fiona and the band are going to come and sing. We're going to sing a carol of blessing and sing it like a prayer. Joy to the world. And we're singing that as a declaration upon. We are singing a blessing of joy to the world. The Lord has come, and let every heart prepare him room as heaven and nature sings.